Lake Effect continues now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Political cartoons have a rich and often influential history in this country, from the Tammany Hall caricatures of the 19th century cartoonist Thomas Nast to Walt Kelly's Pogo to the satire and thinly veiled fiction of Gary Trudeau's Doonesbury.
The 20th century illuminator Arthur Schick was known as both a caricaturist and a provocateur. His work was used in the U.S. propaganda machine during World War II. But he's also known for his work in Jewish motifs. And that's a key reason for the exhibit currently on at Jewish Museum Milwaukee. It's called Arthur Schick, The Art of Illumination. Curator Molly Dubin talked with Lake Effect's Joy Powers and answered a simple question. What's important about Arthur Schick?
That's a very good question. And we get that a lot from people who come into the gallery and see the work, understand the power, the impact, and say, why don't I know about this? Why don't I know who Arthur Schick is? So just to give a little bit of background, Arthur Schick came from a Polish Jewish family, was born in Lodz, Poland in 1894, and from a very young age had exhibited kind of this understanding of consciousness and social justice, and also had exhibited an artistic talent at a young age. So his parents really allowed him to pursue that and sent him to study in Paris, which is where he kind of first started exploring the genres that he was interested in. And fascinatingly enough, at the time, Paris is this, you know, kind of epicenter of the avant-garde and the modernist movement. So you have artists from all over the world coming to, you know, explore ideas of abstraction and impressionism and cubism. And here's Arthur Schick, who's drawn to the representational and winds up combining these very two interesting historical, almost antiquitous genres, which is Persian miniature painting and 16th century manuscript illumination, and combining those into a unique art form, which he eventually uses to approach works having to do with ideas of freedom, democracy, which was a theme throughout his work, absolutely connections to Jewish history, events throughout Jewish history, and probably the most well-known aspect of his work is his propaganda in terms of World War II and really being identified as FDR's soldier in art because of the impact of his propaganda works, which were incredibly influential in swaying public opinion for the United States to join World War II. Those themes that I mentioned, democracy, Judaism, he was an ardent Zionist and supporter of the eventual creation of the State of Israel, and really also kind of stepping up as an advocate for not only Jews but other minority groups, and specifically the African-American community after moving to the United States permanently and seeing beginning in the early 1940s what was going on with the treatment of the African-American community and making a correlation to the persecution of the Jews in Eastern Europe. These are themes that continue throughout his career that he is known for and, as I say, really was very brave and heroic in making the kind of imagery and statements that he did through his art, because they were all about social justice. So that's Arthur Schick in a nutshell.
When you think about big social statements in his art, I think you might be drawn to Schick's portrayal of the Haggadah, which is considered by some his magnum opus.
Right.
First of all, can you explain the significance of the Haggadah?
So the Haggadah is, in essence, the prayer book or service guide that's used during the first two nights of the holiday of Passover. And so Passover, of course, is recognizing the exodus of Jews being released from Egyptian slavery and ultimately reaching Palestine. The Haggadah is used for the first two nights of the Seder. There's a very specific order. Haggadah actually means order. You have a Seder plate that has a number of foods that are very symbolic of this event and this journey. And why Schick's Haggadah is so unique and really so ubiquitous is that he not only used the traditional imagery that you would recognize, but he also looked to the universal idea of freedom for all mankind. And he really created this as an idea of giving hope to the Jews of Europe during a very dark time. He created this in the early 1930s. And so it was specifically speaking to what was going on in Eastern Europe, but on a much grander scale, talking about the universal fight for freedom and the importance of being able to attain that.
He initially included a lot of imagery that we would associate with the Nazis. I mean, swastikas, snakes that had swastikas for heads. He included a lot of depictions of Hitler.
Correct. And those were, as you mentioned, included in the original production of that Haggadah. But the publisher actually insisted that the imagery be taken out. So you don't see it in the final published version. But that is something that you see in a great deal of his artworks. He infused what was going on during World War II, specifically looking to the Nazi regime and often the Axis powers, taking imagery or symbolism and incorporating them into either illustrations of historical events or making correlations to contemporary events. So using the Nazi imagery and infusing that with historical Jewish events, other world events, contemporary events at the time was really something that was kind of brilliant in a way, because it allowed for other people looking at his work to make those correlations. He's showing, look at the similarities here. You know, look at the ideals or, you know, the policies that are the Nazi regime is, you know, trying to bring about, and how that can be connected to other events or can be looked at in terms of the persecution of other people or groups throughout history. And so incorporating those symbols was really an effective means of communicating and letting people make those connections in their minds through his artwork, which was a tremendous vehicle for communication.
Initially, a lot of publishers did want to sanitize those images, those sort of now iconic images associated with the Nazis. Schick started criticizing the Nazi regime very early on.
He did, which is another really interesting piece. When we talk about his being, you know, not only intuitive, but, you know, heroic and brave in making the statements he did when he did. So 1933 is when Schick comes out with his first propagandist piece, which is a depiction of Hitler as a wolf in sheep's clothing standing atop the Reichstag. And 1933 is also the year that Hitler has come to power. So publications like the New York Times are still writing things that are quite positive about Hitler and looking to what he will do during his tenure as the Führer. While Schick is saying at the same time, don't be fooled by this. There is another agenda that, you know, he's not being upfront about. And we need to be very, very leery of, you know, what this man is looking to do and what his being in power is going to mean. So very intuitive in that respect.
He went on to do a lot of propaganda art. His art was actually featured on pamphlets from the U.S. military. But when you think of World War II propaganda art, a lot of people might think of, you know, Norman Rockwell's famous depictions of Roosevelt's For Freedom speech. But what people may not know is Schick's For Freedom's depictions actually predate Rockwell's.
They do. And it's interesting. In some of the literature that's been put out by the Arthur Schick Society, there actually is some comparison between the depiction of the Four Freedoms by Schick and that of Rockwell. And as we kind of were talking about coming into this conversation, I think, you know, Rockwell's imagery, specifically when you think about the family sitting around the table, enjoying the turkey, it's been so divorced from the idea of FDR's Four Freedoms that I don't know that people make that connection anymore. It isn't something that immediately comes to mind. For Schick, it's not as certainly idealized. It's much more illustrative. When you look to Rockwell, it's very much, you know, this idea of the idyllic, you know, family and the Americana and kind of the nostalgia wrapped around it, whereas Schick is much more representational and much more direct. and really addressing his being so inspired by the founding of America and the policies, the the proclamations, all the things that America was founded upon, and this idea of freedom. You can feel that in his depictions, not only in the Four Freedoms, but also in his series that addressed George Washington, the founding of America, some of the founding figures, and continues through the Haggadah, through his work looking to the persecution of the African American community, to, you know, up until the end, toward the end of his life, and the need for the creation of a state of Israel, a Jewish homeland. So it's something that is really apparent in his work and continues as a primary theme throughout his career.
As you say, he was a Zionist. He was also a strong advocate for the African American community here in the United States. All of his art really responds to what was happening at the time it was made. I would imagine that curating an exhibit of his artwork is a pretty daunting sort of thing, right?
It definitely had its challenges because he is prolific. And, you know, even though he died at a young age, he produced a tremendous body of work. We had read some reflections of his only daughter, Alexandra, who is in her 90s and residing in Florida currently. But memories of her father always being, you know, at the drafting board or at his table, you know, always sketching, always creating. And to create a show, yes, was challenging. We really wanted it to be a survey, if you will, of his career, but also really to focus on some of the major themes. And, you know, as we talked about in this particular exhibit, we explore the ideas of democracy, artist propaganda, civil rights and the pursuit of justice, and his commitment to Judaism and Zionism. So that made it a little bit easier to narrow down. But also we wanted to present a mix of original arts, of facsimiles, pieces that were included in publications, the Collier's Time Life covers that we talked about, but also examples of some of the other wonderful books that he illustrated, such as Anderson's Fairy Tales, The Arabian Nights. So some of, you know, those classic tales that he put his own unique brand of illustration to. So I think we were challenged, but the feedback has been, which we've been really excited about, that we've done a nice job with really providing an overview and touching on those really important themes of his career.
That's great. Thank you so much, Molly, for joining us here in studio.
Thank you so much for having me, Joy.
Molly Dubin is curator at Jewish Museum Milwaukee. The museum's exhibit, Arthur Schick, The Art of Illumination, runs through mid-May. The museum also hosts a discussion on the power of political cartoons with political cartoonists Stuart Carlson and Phil Hands this Wednesday evening.
And in the interest of full disclosure, I am moderating that event.